What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What I was interested in for the Mike McCarthy interview is how this was treated locally. I mean, it was treated like a really, really big deal. And I guess if you have a coach coming in who's won a Super Bowl, who's won a lot of playoff games, who you've seen, for better or worse, beat your organization an absolute lot and, you know, using Aaron Rodgers to do it, but he helped make Aaron Rodgers what he was, so that all goes hand in hand. This is treated like an enormous deal locally. And, you know, sometimes I wonder from those of us who aren't on the ground, you know, maybe we lose sight of, like, what things are actually a big deal. This felt like a big deal for the Chicago Bears.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is Ian Rappaport commenting on Mike McCarthy's interview yesterday for the Bears' job. You know, the Bears, they wanted to, they requested an opportunity to interview him while he was still the head coach in Dallas, trying to determine whether he would be back there or not. And then Dallas decides to move on. They blocked the move.
Petty move.
He's not allowed.
Petty move.
Well, I mean, they probably hadn't made their decision. Cherry is given to whims.
That's true.
And he's a whimsical character.
Yeah, it was. He's a little too whimsical sometimes.
Just making a joke. But
Ian Rappaport
interesting.
Calling it significant.
Yeah.
Or it felt like something important.
He said the way it was received was
Yeah, well, it underscores a couple things. Number one, it was in person. Number two, the method of travel that Mike McCarthy used to get to Halas Hall. And it was reported by Courtney Cronin at ESPN.com that Mike McCarthy flew a private jet. I don't think it was his.
He didn't fly it. He flew in a private jet.
That's true. Okay. He flew in a private plane.
Wouldn't it be something if he actually stole Jerry's plane?
That'd be great.
And I got the yacht on the way,
he's
too.
He got the captain's hat.
Yeah,
on,
there you go.
Yeah, the pilot's hat. But I do
mayday,
think
mayday, mayday. How do I land this thing?
It was a significant day, maybe the most significant move in the Bears coaching search to date, because it was a face-to-face interview. They went out to dinner with a guy that is qualified as much as anybody they have interviewed. A couple of things that have been making the rounds I think are worth reinforcing. I know there are understandable and valid reservations and concerns about Mike McCarthy's end-of-game management, clock management, game situations that we know the Bears have struggled with. That's why they have a coaching vacancy. But overall, big picture, playoff appearances, Mike McCarthy, 12 out of 18 years. Mike Tomlin, 12 out of 18 years. Sean Payton, 10 out of 17 years. Division titles, Mike McCarthy, 8. Tomlin, 7. Sean Payton, 7. Playoff, 1-loss record, Mike McCarthy, 11-11. Sean Payton, 9-9.
Give me the yo.
Mike Tomlin, 8-11. This is a guy that when we talk about Sean Payton and Mike Tomlin, we talk about in different terms. Mike McCarthy wore out his welcome in Green Bay, perhaps did the same thing in Dallas. And the Bears look, yeah, it's his third go-around. Is he the definition of a retread? Absolutely. But he does strengthen your floor. He maybe limits your ceiling, but boy, you look at those credentials and you might look at it a different way.
Well, I think that it is a big deal in Chicago because you're talking about credibility, and he is a head coach with credibility. I think the fact, the the fact you've got to remember is that not only has he been a head coach, he's an offensive guy, and he is actively still a play caller in the NFL. He's 61 years old. I don't know if he plans on calling plays and staying with what he's doing if he came here. I would think that would be the assumption. And he has worked with some great quarterbacks over the years and seemingly aided them. And frankly, that is the biggest task. I understand the whole leader of men thing, and I understand what everyone is talking about with getting someone in here that can run a football team. But you've got to make the most of a great young player, and that is what they believe they have in Caleb Williams. They believe that he is a generational quarterback, still believe that, and they want to figure out a way to get the most out of him after a initial year in Chicago of, I would argue, hindrance. I would argue that they did nothing to help advance his career. And now we talk about, well, does it, you know, wait a minute, doesn't he like DJ Moore? I'm just telling you, if you got the right guy in here and you got him improving and you know, created a place where you were running plays for him, where you were working on ball distribution for him,
well,
where you were figuring out a way to get the most out of him.
You'd like a guy.
You're hitting it out of the park.
That has a frame of reference that Mike McCarthy has. You like a guy that has been through it with, okay, let's look at the names, Brett Favre. You has been through situations with Brett Favre, you know, oh, well, back when Brett Favre was looking for his favorite receiver, we did this, Aaron Rodgers. Well, Aaron Rodgers was a young starter, not a rookie starter, but a young starter finding his way that had a similar label of greatness attached to him early on, trying to meet expectations. And, oh, Dak Prescott lived in a fishbowl in Dallas, operated with a ton of scrutiny that Caleb Williams already is used to. So those kind of experiences and navigating those kinds of seasons with that type of players, then I think you understand that, yeah, the leader of men thing, we're talking about leadership, guys with experience, knowing what to say and how to handle situations. Yeah, the football part of it, the offensive-minded part of it, that comes with the territory. We know what he can do in that regard. But I think it makes, you know, the more we talk about it, the more I look at it, I just think that they have talked to so many people, it's going to be hard to find somebody more qualified than this guy.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, we don't know what they're doing. Do they know what they're doing? They're interviewing a lot of different people. They're looking at all sorts of different aspects of coaching, whether it's offensive guys, defensive guys, whether it's, you know, guys that sit on rocks. It's just a widespread, wide net that they have cast as they search for a head coach. This is a viable candidate because he was just a head coach like a week ago, you know? And so I think
it's a trust factor.
There's a reason. Well,
it's a trust factor.
Especially with a group that you don't necessarily trust.
That's the point.
Yes.
If we were to be invited to dinner last night, if we were to have been invited to wherever they went, and I do wonder where they went, but when we're sitting at the table, some steakhouse, sure. If we were sitting at that table and you had to answer a question from the waiter, oh, what would you guys like to drink when you order your drinks? Oh, who would you trust most at this table? And from a football perspective, I would point to Mike McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
I would, you know, if it's Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, and George McCaskey sitting next to Mike McCarthy, he's the football guy who's earned the most trust at the table.
He's also 61 years old. He's got a whole resume behind him, a whole career behind him. He is not an up-and-coming guy. He is not a guy that is in the business world. He is not a guy that is in the exclusive club of NFL owners, right? He's a different cat. His dad was a fireman. He grew up in Pittsburgh. His dad became a bar owner. I'm just saying, he's probably a lot more relatable than a lot of different people. Now, I don't know. I don't know Kevin Warren's background. I know he came up as a player agent. And I mean, I understand how he arrived where he is, but I don't know. I've been lucky enough to have a conversation with him here on the air, and he seemed like a lovely fella. Ryan Poles went to Boston College and, you know, was great friends with Matt Ryan. I mean, we know some things about him. We know that his buddy, Ian Cunningham, has come to work with him. And by the way, had his second interview, in-person interview.
Yeah, I heard that.
In Tennessee.
I saw that.
I know you don't approve of it, but
it means doesn't matter if I approve of it.
Two third-round picks, buddy.
That's, it does. It means what we're looking at. Third-round pick this year and next year.
It's a lot more than you get out of Justin Fields, by the way.
Okay, well, yeah, because the Bears make such good use of those third-round picks.
Well,
show me one that's worked. Show me a third-round pick.
How's Bayless doing in
Carolina?
Carolina?
I don't know. Is he still on the roster? How about Zach Pickens? How's he doing? Yeah. Okay. Kieran Amagaji.
He didn't play at the end of the year. Oh, he's got a future.
Oh, he does. He might still.
He might have a future.
Move him inside the guard.
You
get
think
him
he's
fully healthy.
Inside the guard?
Probably. Well, did you see him play left tackle?
I did, but yeah. It was only a snapshot.
All right, we digress because I think Ian Cunningham going to the Titans, if they want to hire Ian Cunningham as a general manager off a team that's lost 36 games in 3 years, then fine. That's their prerogative. But I do wonder about that job and about those qualifications. Anyway, back to the Bears.
Yes.
You look at what they're looking for, and the word is they're going to interview Todd Monken on Friday virtually, the offensive coordinator for the Ravens. Great. I just don't know. They will be hard-pressed to find anybody whose credentials qualify him more than Mike McCarthy's do for this job.
Yeah, I think, you know, I would recommend to Ian Rappaport that he take a look at how the Bears are going about trying to fill this opening and then come back to me and tell me whether it's a big deal that they got a current NFL coach who calls plays. I mean, all you got to do is add the names together and figure out how many people they're talking to and how they're breaking down the interviews, et cetera. And then maybe that answers your question, sir.
Yes, definitely. And the fact that he flew here privately, I don't think is insignificant.
No, he's the first candidate other than Ron Rivera, former player here, to come in via private jet. And again, you know, Dustin wants to know who paid for it. Did he pay for his own jet? I'm going to guess the Bears paid for it. And if they didn't, shame on them.
Mike McCarthy's made a lot of money, but I don't think he's flying around in private jets.
Yeah. Ray is in Rosemont. Ray is on the score. Hey, Ray.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you all today?
Good.
I had a thought and a question. I'm not sure, but it seems like I recall during the Nagy or Eberflus hire, the Bears got an exception for having to interview minority candidates for the coaching position because of their track record in their office. It seems like I remember that. I could be completely wrong. But if that isn't the case, shouldn't they be allowed to get an exemption simply because their president and GM are both black?
Doesn't work that way.
Yeah. I you know, the idea of the Rooney Rule is you bring in coaches and you interview them. And even if you don't hire them, you are offering a headway into the offices for minority candidates. But, you know, the determination was made that some of these guys couldn't get an interview, couldn't get close to some of these owners, couldn't have any access. Maybe you bring a guy in and you interview him, and then you have an opening, and you're like, "Hey, who was that guy? Remember? Oh, that guy was very impressive." That was the concept behind it. You just make sure that there's access to these jobs for people that might not have had that access before. It was a way of opening up some doors. So you are required by the Rooney Rule to bring in two candidates from outside your organization that would interview for the job in person, and it doesn't apply to these virtual calls that the Bears are making. So you've had Ron Rivera, who is a minority candidate.
Mm-hmm.
He counts for one member of that would count toward the Rooney Rule. And I don't believe they've had anybody else
in the building in person other than Mike McCarthy. So you would have to have another interview in person in order to meet the requirements of the Rooney Rule, even though they are talking to plenty of candidates of all walks of life. So it doesn't matter if that's done virtually. They want access to the building, et cetera.
It's not about the people doing the hiring. It's about the potential candidates and expanding the scope of potential candidates all around the league.
Yes.
And diversifying the job force, if you will.
Right.
And so whether the Bears have done a nice job of diversifying their own organization with an African-American team president and general manager, I think that it's irrelevant when you're looking for, I don't want to say irrelevant, but it doesn't factor into whether or not they hire an African-American head coach. They still have to follow the same parameters, and they still have to go through the paces as you described. So far, they have checked one box. They still have another one to check. Yep. So even if they were, let's say, hypothetically really impressed with Mike McCarthy in person, they could not offer him the job until they satisfy all the requirements.
And I think that, you know, as far as the Bears are concerned, I think they've done a really good job. When you look at Mike Vrabel getting hired in New England, that is just not what the Rooney Rule is supposed to be. They brought in Pep Hamilton and Byron Leftwich, who both had been out of the NFL for at least 2 years. They brought them in as candidates for head coaching jobs, and they interviewed them, and then they hired Vrabel.
They were sham interviews.
It felt like that, didn't it? And I think they did talk virtually with Ben Johnson. I believe Aaron Glenn had no interest in talking to them. They reached out to include the defensive coordinator in Detroit, and he passed on a chance to do a virtual interview with them. And he was asked about that yesterday, and he said that he had nothing against their organization. He just didn't know that that was a place where he could get a job. He didn't bite back at the idea that they did sham interviews, or that they brought people in just so they could hire someone else, or that everybody in the league knew they were hiring Mike Vrabel. He just chose not to interview for that job. Now, he played for the Jets, right? So maybe he didn't like the organization. He said he had no problem with the Patriots. He kind of passed on an opportunity to criticize them had he wanted to, and just said he wasn't interested in the job.
Yep, that is understandable. I think you have to deal with, and you're ready for all kinds of situations. So the Bears have to be ready for all kinds of possibilities and scenarios, and when you interview 21 people, you should be. And they're not through the list. There are 12 guys into the interview list. The plan A candidate still remains Ben Johnson. Curious to see what happens Saturday night. If you are a Bears fan, you are rooting for the Commanders because you want some clarity with Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, who I think would be worthy of an in-person interview. He's going to be on the Jets list and probably somebody else's list. Maybe he'll be on the Cowboys list. They're looking for head coach now too. I don't see Ben Johnson as a potential Cowboy fit. Do you? He hasn't been mentioned there, I guess.
No.
You wonder why, but he hasn't been linked to Jerry Jones necessarily. It sounds like the biggest impediments for the Bears, if they're pursuing Ben Johnson, would be Vegas and Jacksonville.
Ben Johnson was asked about his interviewing this time round. He declined to talk about any specifics. He said he was there to talk about the Washington game and that he wanted to concentrate on that. But he did say that he felt he had spent more time this year looking at the big picture of do we have that? Do we have him talking, Ben Johnson, talking about the big picture of coaching that he looked at differently? I mean, it's not like a great cut or anything, but let's take a listen.
Oh, this go around, I've been a lot more prepared for the types of questions that they've been asking. I've also changed my frame of mind a little bit, and instead of worrying solely about the offense and what we're doing right here, I've been able to have off seasons and summers to think about big picture view, what a program would look like, where I'm running it. And so I think that way I'm a lot more prepared for the questions that come my way. And much more comfortable answering them.
So I think that's really interesting, David, because he could have had a job last year.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to get hired in that cycle, and he went back and wanted to finish the job in Detroit. And then he says, you know, that changed the way he was looking at things, and he took more of a whole view of things than he had before.
Quickly, what are the chances Ben Johnson, after all of the interviews and all of the speculation and conversation, decides to stay in Detroit this year too?
We'll ask Dan Pompey that next. How about that? Dan will know. Dan knows all. We'll talk to our guy, Dan Pompey, whose name is writ in the Hall of Fame. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Hall of Fame writer reporter Dan Pompey with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. His name is Rich in the Hall of Fame. He is our guy, Dan Pompey, and he joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Dan, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Mully. Good to be with you today. David, good to talk with you.
Morning, Dan.
Great to catch up with you. We are in the midst of the Bears coaching search. It's a wide net that is spread throughout the country. There is a lot of different candidates involved in this search. Is there ever too many? Do you feel comfortable with the number of names that the Bears are sorting through?
I mean, I don't have a problem with it. You know, they have got time to do this right now. So why not? I mean, they might not necessarily think that every one of these candidates that they're speaking with is a guy, at least going in, that they would like to hire to be their next head coach. But they certainly can gather information and learn and find out different perspectives. You know, Al Davis used to be the king of that with the Raiders. He used to, whenever he hired a head coach, he would interview all kinds of people and pick their brains and try to, you know, really kind of advance his own understanding of what people were doing strategically, what they were doing administratively. And he felt like it helped his organization in the long run. So, I think there's something to be said for that. And, you know, the Bears really, unless they want to hire someone who has been, who is not in the playoffs right now, they've got time on their hands because they haven't been able to talk with guys like Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn and, you know, some of the other candidates who they obviously want to talk to in person right now when these teams are still playing.
I know you know everybody, Dan. I know you have relationships around the league with current coordinators, current head coaches, former head coaches. Of all the people you know, and you know what, uniquely qualified to describe what the Bears are looking for, do you have your own list? Do you have a favorite that you think would be a good fit?
I don't really have a favorite, David. I think there are a lot of good people they are speaking with. I think the guy they talked to yesterday, Mike McCarthy, is an outstanding candidate. You know, proven winner, guy who has been a proven offensive mind, knows the division, good, solid human being, would fit in well with the organization. You know, he's got a lot of things going for him, in my opinion. You know, I think the two coordinators in Detroit are definitely worth looking at. You know, a lot of respect for both of those guys and what they've done. They're both unknowns because they haven't been head coaches before. That's the drawback. Whereas McCarthy, you know, someone like him, the drawback is, well, he struggled in Dallas or whatever. You know, obviously been fired twice now. So, you know, I think those guys, I'm really intrigued by Todd Monken, a guy with Chicago ties, has done a really nice job in Baltimore. I think, you know, as a little bit of an older guy, grizzled guy, has had some experiences, has seen a lot of different ways that it's done. You know, he's a good guy to get in the mix without a doubt. You know, I think there's a number of them, but those guys, Ron Rivera, you know, I know Mully and I talked about him on the pregame show one day. I think he's a guy that's definitely worth considering too, given his success, not only as a head coach in Carolina, but also success with a highly rated quarterback in Cam Newton, who was the first pick in the draft for them when he got to Carolina.
I'm curious, Dan, you know, there are various people, David included, who don't like the idea of Tom Brady getting any kind of access to Ben Johnson when he's a candidate for other jobs. But Tom's going to be doing, he's probably going to be doing the hire for the Raiders, at least that's the rumor, and he's going to be doing the game this weekend. Is that an unfair advantage? Do you go along with that idea, or do you think that something needs saying?
Well, you know, it doesn't really feel quite right. You know, I agree with that. I don't know that ultimately it's going to be anything that gives the Raiders an unfair advantage or, you know, kind of tilts the scale competitively towards them. But I think it's something the league has to be careful about. It's obviously such a unique circumstance, one that's really, you know, never happened before, probably couldn't happen with anybody else, any other team. but yeah, you have to be careful because, you know, obviously Brady is someone who is going to have a lot of doors open to him, even though, you know, they've made some special rules for him where he's not supposed to be able to observe practices or be involved in production meetings. But still, you know, when Tom Brady shows up, I think, you know, a lot of things are going to fall down and people are going to look the other way with certain rules.
So, Dan, Ian Rappaport is now reporting that Brian Flores will interview with the Bears on Saturday. I don't know if that's in person or virtual, but I believe that Brian Flores, I know not everyone would agree, but is among the most qualified guys on this list. I think his second time around could be evidence that he's learned from his first go-around in Miami. Had a good year as a defensive coordinator with the Vikings. What do you think of Brian Flores specifically, given the baggage that he would bring to any job interview?
Well, he wouldn't be my first choice. I think that, you know, there's if you really look into what he did in Miami, obviously he had some success with in terms of the record and that kind of thing, and obviously he's had some great success as a defensive strategist and coordinator. But I think what was lacking in Miami with him was the people skills, the leadership, the ability to get people to buy in. And I mean, it was, you know, there's some bad stories out there. So, you know, can he grow? Can he learn? Yeah, maybe he has. I don't know. I don't know that it's a gamble that I'd be willing to take when you've got guys out there who, in my opinion, are really highly qualified and could fit in well in the Bears culture and in this town.
Dan, when you say he wouldn't be your first choice, who would be your first choice?
You know, I don't know that I've got a first choice without sitting there and, you know, interviewing all these guys, Molly. But like I said, there's a number of guys who I think are really strong candidate. I mean, I thought Mike Vrabel was a really strong candidate too. But, you know, he wasn't going to go anywhere other than New England once the Patriots became a real opportunity, I don't think.
So, Dan, a year ago, Ben Johnson had the leverage of saying, you know what, I don't want the Washington Commanders because I could go back to Detroit and have a sure thing, and we're going to get back to the Super Bowl. We're going to get back to the NFC Championship game. And this year, maybe he has the same idea. But at what point can he still use that as leverage? I think he's got to take a head coaching job this time around. Don't you? Or do you think that going back to the Lions would be a realistic possibility for a guy as sought after as Ben Johnson is?
Well, I think that he's probably got a – there's a better chance that he takes a head coaching job this year than last. But I don't know that it's a lock. I think – I know that from talking to him that he looks at the Lions as a really kind of special this is a special moment in time that he's got there, well, with people he really likes working with, working for, with, you know, Jared Goff and he have a really great relationship, both, I think, personally and professionally. And they've got an opportunity, you know, obviously they've got an opportunity to win a Super Bowl this year, but he could be looking at it, well, we could win again in 2026 or 2027 or, you know, whatever. So it wouldn't shock me for him to say, look, I'm happy doing what I'm doing right now, and I'm going to keep doing this. He's well compensated. His family is happy there. This is a guy who, you know, not long ago was just hoping for any job, and he's got a lot of gratitude for being in the situation that he's in. So, I wouldn't be stunned if he decided to return to Detroit for another season and put that off. I think, you know, given what he's accomplishing, if he did return to Detroit, I think there would be opportunities down the road, even if the Lions, you know, faltered and he had some struggles.
Yeah, the guy's 38 years old. I mean, you would think that there would be plenty of opportunities. But at the same time, you know, you get to a point where if you're reluctant to take a job, people lose interest in you. I mean, I'm just saying he's an incredibly hot candidate right now, and it seems like there's a great opportunity for him. But, he gets to wait and decide and make sure it's what he wants, but – you know, he does have three young kids, and, you know, I get all that. But man, it just feels like if you don't move fairly quickly on these things, they evaporate on you.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be rolling the dice. There's no question. But I think one of the things that he would be gambling on if he did decide to go back is that, you know, you look at the rate of turnovers with head coaches in the National Football League, or, you know, even if you want to expand it, go to college. You know, there are so many every year, and there are really probably not a great amount of really attractive candidates to fill those positions. You know, I think the more that we go on with the attrition being as high as it is, you know, the fewer attractive candidates there become. So somebody like him, like I said, could continue to be a hot candidate, even if the level of success falls off a little bit.
Quickly, Dan, this weekend, who's got more at stake? Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen?
Well, you know, obviously they both got the same thing at stake, a chance to play in the AFC Championship game. But, you know, from a kind of a image standpoint, I think Lamar does, because he's, you know, he struggled in the playoffs in the past. Obviously had a great game last week against Pittsburgh, and he's been a two-time MVP. My guess is he's going to get a third MVP. He got my vote this year for MVP again. You know, and he's just obviously a wonderful, transformative football player, and I think for complete validation, he needs to go out and you know, have success in the postseason as he's had in the regular season.
You know, Dan, I will watch every game, and I'm interested in all the games. But there's an element of that Rams-Eagles game that fascinates me as much as any game this weekend. Just, you know, watching the Rams and how they played, and seeing the Eagles, and you know, might have needed the game, might have needed to get the quarterback on the field, might need to get the passing game going. I just think it's a really interesting game.
It is, you know, and I think, you know, you look at those two defenses and what they're capable of.
Right.
And, you know, obviously they come from different places, right? The Eagles have all these defensive stars, these high round picks. The great Vic Fangio is their defensive coordinator, you know, esteemed Vic Fangio. And then you've got the Rams with first-year guy Chris Shula and, you know, kind of a bunch of no-names. You know, where's Aaron Donald? What happened to him? Rookies, and they're getting it done, and they've kind of peaked as the season's gone on. So that part of it is an interesting matchup, and then obviously they've got different styles, football offensively, and it's going to be a great game.
That McVay guy might have a shot.
Might have a shot. Good stuff,
great
Dan.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you, buddy.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
That is Dan Pompeo. That's a lot of fun going through that list and talking about games and such.
Interesting. To recap, Ian Rappaport, Brian Flores interviewing Saturday with the Bears. Dan Pompeo, not impressed.
No, not as
not much. Impressed.
No, he shot that down.
Good stuff from Dan, though.
I have strong opinions. We got Nick Costos next, Mully and Hall on the Score.
I want winners.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. On the line is Nick Costos, the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Insider Calls, presented by BetMGM. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays from 2 to 6 on the BetQL network, and you can watch from 5 to 6 on NBC Sports Now on Peacock. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
Doing well.
We're fired up. These games are going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to all of them, but obviously the big quarterback battle is the centerpiece of a great weekend of NFL games.
Yeah, that game, of course, is the Ravens and Bills coming up on Sunday afternoon. And guys, as it stands right now, people may be surprised to hear this, given that Buffalo's the home team. The Ravens are actually favored in the game. Baltimore's a one-point favorite on the road at Buffalo. And this doesn't mean, what I'm about to say, guys, that Baltimore is going to win the Super Bowl. I think Kansas City's going to. Baltimore is the highest-rated team in the league. So if and when Baltimore and Kansas City play next week, if that matchup occurs in Kansas City, the Ravens are going to be favored in that game. Like, the Chiefs will be home underdogs if they play, at least to start. So people should just get used to Baltimore is the highest rated team in the league. Doesn't mean they'll win, but that is their rating. And I do think that they will win this game, guys, coming up on Sunday in Buffalo. It's my favorite bet of the week of any of the four games. I think the Ravens are flat out better than the Bills. When they played back in week four, the game was in Baltimore on Sunday Night Football. Baltimore ran for 8 yards per carry, 270 yards on the ground. The Bills do have some defensive players back in this game that missed that game, but this is still an undersized Bills defense that is not built, I think, to stop like powerful rushing attacks like the Ravens have with Derrick Henry and, of course, with Lamar Jackson. And I do think Lamar, and they're both great, I think they're both going to go to the Hall of Fame. I think Lamar's playing a little better than Josh Allen. I'll take the Ravens, guys, to win on Saturday, on Sunday, excuse me, in Buffalo.
What are your other favorite prop bets, oh, prop king?
For props, I mean, we could go with Lamar Jackson over rushing yards in that game, Josh Allen over rushing yards. Allen runs a ton more in the postseason than he does in the regular season. I like that a lot. I think it stands to reason that Commanders-Lions is a game that's going to have a lot of points, right? The total's 55.5, and the Lions, I think, are likely to score a ton. So you're going to see Washington in catch-up mode. Jaden Daniels rushing yards prop is at 54.5. It's tough to imagine he doesn't clear that pretty easily, especially, guys, if Washington is down in the game, which is the expectation.
I'm curious, do you have a pick? I know you have a pick on the national championship. That's a lot of points. It's moved. The line has moved. I think the look-ahead line was 7.5. It opened at 9.5. It's down to like 8 last I checked. Notre Dame against Ohio State. We won't talk to you before that, baby.
Yeah, so, Molly, you're right that we have seen some movement in this game. And actually, the recent movement here has been towards Notre Dame. This was, like, close to 10, and now we're sitting Ohio State is still a big favorite in the game. Ohio State is 8.5. So I think I said with you guys last time I came on, I have Ohio State to win the title. That's been in for a while. I have an exacta Ohio State over Notre Dame. So I'm chilling in this game. I just need Ohio State to win. I think they're going to. As far as like the actual bet goes, like picking the side of the game, I think you're going to see a lot of people making the case for Notre Dame. Notre Dame has the better coach. I don't disagree. I think Marcus Freeman's awesome. I would strongly urge him to avoid the Bears. Sorry, if possible. and be the king of Notre Dame. Seems pretty good. So Freeman is the better coach in the game, and I don't think this is going to be Georgia TCU a couple years ago, right? 65-7 Georgia. I don't think that's going to be what this is, but Ohio State's way better than Notre Dame, and if Notre Dame's able to keep this game close, the Bears should just give Marcus Freeman a blank check, because the talent disparity is vast between these two teams. I do think Ohio State wins by 10 or more. I like Ohio State a lot to win the national championship on Monday night.
Before I let you go, any other favorites this weekend?
Yeah, so let's see. I just want to have the right spreads and stuff. Okay, so Kansas City, 8.5-point home favorite against Houston. I think the Chiefs are very likely to win the game. If I had to bet a team to cover, though, I would take the points with Houston. Maybe Kansas City wins by 7. These two teams played like 3 weeks ago. Kansas City closed a 3.5-point favorite in that game. So this is a huge, huge disparity between those two numbers. So I like Houston. If I had to bet that game, I do think the Chiefs will win. And then Rams-Eagles on Sunday on Peacock and NBC at 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central time. Philly's a 6-point favorite. My sense is Philly will get bet a little bit as we approach kickoff in that game. I would be more apt to take the points with the Rams to keep the game close, but what I really want to do is bet the over in the game. I'd like to bet over 43.5. It's 44 right now. I think it'll go down to 43.5. Matthew Stafford, that week off, seems like it did him wonders on Monday night against Minnesota. He was throwing darts, and I think Sean McVay will have something cooked up for this Eagles defense. And on the flip side, everyone's way down on Jalen Hurts in the Eagles offense. The individual players are still awesome, and I want to bet on the Eagles offense when the market's against them. So I do like the over coming up with the Eagles and the Rams.
Great stuff. You know, your prop last week was Calvin Austin, and you had him at over 23.5 receiving yards. I believe he had one target, one catch, for 25 yards. Well done.
Well done, King.
And you know what we call that, Molly? A winner.
That's exactly right.
We absolutely. And can I throw a Bears thing at you very quickly?
Please.
So the difference between fandom and betting, right? If I'm a Bears fan and the Bears hire Mike McCarthy, I want to walk into Lake Michigan. Like, I'm not happy about that as a fan. But as a bettor, because, you know, like, the NFC North is awesome, and the Bears had a terrible season. I don't think like 7.5, 8.5 maybe for the Bears win total. So fandom, I think you don't like that. But as far as betting goes, I think if the Bears hire Mike McCarthy, they win 9 games next year, and I would bet over on their win total in the Cal. Can they win the Super Bowl? Probably not. But would they be respectable? Definitely. Just the difference that I think is interesting between fandom and betting. And wishing great. Everyone, Minimal Sweats Winning Bets, the absolute very best of luck.
That's great stuff. It's a good point. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks,
that
Nick.
That is Nick Kostos from BetQL. And we should let you know that the host of You Better, You Bet, Odyssey Betting Insider Nick Kostos, all those insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines on the BetMGM app.
And we'll have two great giveaways all week. Chris Stapleton, All-American Roadshow, and 4 packs of tickets to the Chicago Auto Show. Stay tuned.
Oh, that's great stuff. All right. We've got our guy, Brian Baldinger. He will join us next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.